You're just going to stand there eating that sushi all night? You haven't even looked at my photorealistic macaroni sculptures.
It's Who Arted with Creative Messiah, Amy Ralphini.
It is Who Arted for this week. Welcome, Amy.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Very good, very good.
Today on Who Arted we have Tiffany Singh. Hi, Tiffany.
Namaste.
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 Tiffany is a interdisciplinary, site-specific, installation-based artist and a recent recipient of the New Zealand Arts Foundation New Generation Award, also received by Selena Fisher and Hera Lindsay Bird. Tiffany is one of this country's foremost social practice artists. And last time we had you on the show, we were talking about your work, The Journey of a Million Miles begins with one step, the stories beyond refuge, which is part of the headland sculpture on the Gulf, Waiheke. And since then, I see you've been involved in all manner of things. But most importantly, on Monday night, you received a New Generation Award from the Arts Foundation, a beautiful Christine Cathy-designed glasswork cast from gaffer glass, which is a New Zealand-made lead crystal, which glows with shifts in colour and light as the piece varies from thick to thin, its form a sweeping curve to convey an emerging artist's sense of spontaneous rhythm, flow and energy. And alongside that, you also received a sweet gift of 25,000 stickies. I came up with that. Have you ever heard that being stickies? I thought it was pretty cool. Anyway, each new generation artist was awarded was a different colour. What colour was yours?
Mine was orange, and I was really excited about it. I didn't want the blue one.
You didn't want, who got the blue one?
I think it was Selena.
Oh, so what colour was Hera Lindsay Bird's?
Green.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I think orange is definitely the best, most vibrant colour out of the selection.
Base chakra.
Wow. So did you order sit together at the same table, or what was it? What was the event like? What was it?
It was a brilliant event. It was really nice to see so many art patrons out and about in force, supporting the new government in all manners of ways.
Were they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, great, yeah,
there
great.
Conversations about a new arts minister.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was at the ASB Theatre. It was a lovely evening. We had drinks and canapes to begin, and then had the formal part of the evening, which was actually incredibly informal and wonderful and humorous and enlightened and lovely, and then back to the drinks and the canapes. So
that sounds delicious. Where were you when the call came through? Because none of the artists know that this is going to happen to them, and so you just get this call saying, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, totally out of the blue, in my kitchen with a whinging two-year-old at 5 o'clock at night who was desperately after dinner. And it was no offence, Simon Bowden, who called me, but it was quite a long-winded phone conversation.
Were you like, come on, get to the point?
Yeah, there was a part of it that I was like, hey, I've got a really hungry child.
Did he explain, like, did he go straight away, like, Tiffany, hey, guess
no.
what? Or was he like, hey, how's it going? What are you doing?
Yeah, and do you know about the Arts Foundation and what we do?
Oh,
and
my goodness.
I actually thought it was an arts survey. Imagine
if you'd been really rude and actually just interrupted and said, look, I've actually got to feed my child.
I did say, is this a joke? Would you mind sending me an email so I can see confirmation?
Oh, I love it. Okay, so moving on to what we really have you on to talk about, and that is social practice, which is relatively kind of new, or it's kind of a newly defined sort of social art movement or art practice of sorts. It's an art form that requires engagement through audience interaction and social discourse, which makes the artwork not all about your creative perspective, as it requires the involvement of others too in order to bring the work to some kind of finish. Although in many cases, the work continues on, gathering more life and input as it does. Now, I've been spending a few weeks trying to get my head around this because sometimes it's a bit confusing, but then I read about an exhibition, well, a work that you did back in early, which you started actually in 2012, which took about 3 years to make.
Five,
12, 13, 14, really?
It's still going, that project's still alive.
Wow, okay, so it started out in 2012, and it's your Tibetan prayer flags work, in which you got at the time a work in which you got 15,000 children from across New Zealand to inscribe their hopes and dreams onto the Tibetan prayer flags, which were consequently hung in Atea Square and at the Auckland Art Festival and Wellington New Zealand Festival, and has it gone to the Himalayan region?
No, that's the next stage of the project. Okay. Yeah.
So for this work, you went into Desol 1 and 2 primary schools in Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch and asked the kids to write down their hopes and dreams for themselves, their communities and the world. I guess the social practice penny dropped for me when you described part of the process to Jennifer Dan, that a lot of the kids had never actually been asked to write down their hopes and dreams before. And they were like, what's a hope, miss? And through your practice, you got them thinking about their futures and identifying pathways to help realise them. You stitched 5,000 of these flags from Auckland together and installed them in Aotea Square so the children could see them. And you described how empowering it was for the children to see that they were part of a whole and to realise that their thinking informs the future of our country. So that's when I really got it. Of all your work, which one has been the most profound or for you in terms of social practice, and can you describe that for our listeners?
Yeah, sure. Social practice is an interesting thing. It's really the combination of activity and inquiry. So you have a lot of the process that's really realised outside of an arts context, that's recontextualised back into an arts context where the final realisation, or almost like the relic of the work, is then shown. For me as a facilitator, as the artist, the artwork is really what happens in the non-art spaces. So it was really going into the schools, for example, with that project and having the children work through the education kit that took 2-3 days in each class to realise through unpacking some of those ideas. Because if you're working with children in those situations that have never been asked any of those questions before, they're incredibly weighty questions. So to get them to a state of trust and to feel open enough to want to be able to contribute in an honest way, we really needed to make them feel safe within that environment. So that's a very slow process of really unpacking, what is a hope? What is a dream? What does that mean? What is community? You know, how do you relate to the world? So spending time really building trust and enabling them to feel empowered to respond honestly and feel like they could communicate in a valid way. So those processes, for me as the artist, that's the work of art. It's not really what the audience sees. It's more about what it is that you're providing as a service through the vehicle of arts.
Mm. That must have been a really bittersweet project to do, just because it would have been so painful to...
Super emotionally challenging work to make. My mum was involved in that, and my filmmaker, Robert George, who's a fabulous filmmaker. All of us have really been touched by working on that project. It's still with us very deeply. Mm. And I've been asked again if I'd like to continue that work. And at the moment, with a young child, I don't actually have the emotional capacity to do that right now.
Yeah.
But the next stage of that project is looking for funding. And that's another thing around social practice, is that social practice sits in between health, arts and education. So it's kind of a conduit between those sectors. So funding can become problematic if it's not sitting formally in one of those boxes.
That's really interesting. Okay, so yeah. Mm.
So what it is that we're looking at is trying to establish a new emergent sector that looks at art, the service of art industry. So that's people who are working with arts therapeutic processes in jails, or working with disabled children, with music, or anything that falls into an arts as service category, and actually creating a new sector for us to operate in that can affect funding and policy, that's not valued by a commodity fiscal
that's
situation.
Really, and when is that, is that a recent event? Because I know it hasn't really been recognised officially massively in New Zealand yet. Like, we don't teach it at all, do we?
No, we don't. It's a process at the moment. At the moment, the government has funded Creative New Zealand to bring together a focus group of people that are working in the sector to try and identify and be able to build a framework around what we value and how we value it, and how it's not to be judged in the traditional aren't making waves, so how that can affect then funding and policy, because essentially it ties back into a large conversation around wellbeing and how the arts can actually reduce the pressure off the core services of health and education by being a service orientated
and sharing your sharing things between communities and between people.
Yeah,
sharing our
shared outcomes, shared measurement, where we're not fighting for funding, but we're actually sharing resource and outcomes.
Yeah. So would you say that was probably the most profound work for you that you've done thus far?
That one and Journey of a Million Miles Begins with One Step, working with the resettled community was a hugely mind-expanding experience.
Yeah, it was just even experiencing that work and the way in which it made you really think about actually the reality of it and, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, you know, some of the social ills that we have to overcome and the way that arts can play into that.
Mm. Absolutely. After studying at Elam, you went to India for 3 years and you did a lot of voluntary work, an experience that altered your understanding of life, death, happiness and success. There are many spiritual elements in your work, both through the objects you use, like coloured piles of coloured pigment or spice. I wasn't 100% sure if they were pigment or spice, actually.
Both.
Yeah, I thought
both.
So. Yeah. The flowers, incense, the bells and the ritual surrounding your work, although your work is secular. But do you personally practice any religion?
I am Buddhist, and I wouldn't necessarily say my work is secular. I mean, for me...
No, it's secular in that it's not Buddhist or it's not Catholic. It's spiritual, but yes. It's non-conformist to any particular type of religion. So you've used assets that are...
It's inclusive. Yeah, that's a great word.
It's kind of open-ended and people can connect to certain things which they recognise.
Absolutely, yeah.
Your work requires a lot of patience. I remember when we were working together on my front lawn once, trying to make the little boats for Journey of a Million Miles. I spent like one afternoon and possibly helped with 1/100th of the final amount of boats required and almost lost my mind. Where do you find the patience? Is this in itself... the process is almost a religious act, and is that patience something that you picked up in a little? Well, is it a Buddhist sort of?
It is for me. It's a meditational process. It's very aligned to the repetition, the mantra or the meditation of repetition.
Mm.
So for me, it's really doing something so many times that it becomes. I get into a meditational space where I don't have to think about it.
I totally get that.
And that's very beautiful, actually. It's very freeing mind space to be working with your hands and doing something tangibly that is related to prayer or repetition, but allowing your brain the space to kind of enter into a new realm.
Yeah.
Patience is a big one.
And mindfulness.
Patience, repetition, mindfulness, yeah.
I really like those mantras as well. I think those Indian mantras, well...
Yeah, prayer and mantra turn up in the work quite a lot.
Yeah.
The Dunedin work has Om Mani Padme Om printed down the ribbon.
Yeah.
And I've written the Medicine Buddha mantra onto the Saipa Tree work around about 10,000 times.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, we've run out of time, but I quickly want to quickly mention, I did want to talk to you about the recent works you've been doing with the Journey Through the Rainbow Alchemy Lab, but I think we might have to just skip that. But I've posted the photos online, the work that you did with Yvette Sitton, to explore the healing frequencies of nature through colour. It looks very, very interesting. The photos that Andy Crown took of the process are absolutely beautiful, so shout out to him. Sorry, Andy. And if anyone wants to check out that particular process and take part in it, there is a PDF that takes you through that process as well, available through Tiffany's Tumblr site. So if you go to tiffanysingcurrent.tumblr.com, you'll find it there. But just to wrap things up, you've recently been awarded the Asia New Zealand Creative New Zealand Residency to Taiwan and the Rockefeller Residency in Thailand. You've got a show coming up next year at Melanie Roger, and also something's going on in Te Papa. What are you working on in Te Papa?
Yeah, the work that you were just talking about, the Journey Through the Rainbow Alchemy Lab, that has been a pilot for both the residency in Taiwan, and also it will inform the work at Te Papa. So I have two installations going into Te Papa for the reopening of the fifth floor. One of them is a completely new commissioned installation, which is very, very exciting.
Well,
I haven't done before. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's very, very exciting.
Oh, wow. I look forward to that. And I'm really excited that rainbow work will be continuing, because I do want to become involved in it. So that was Tiffany saying thank you so much for coming in, and congratulations on your art award.
Thank you very much.
Ooh, I like this.
Trey chic.
Trey cool.
Touché.
Chin chin.
That was Who Arted with Amy Ralphini.